phone different. I'm not starting again. I'll put just for the tape, we're reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through to 17. And today's message is called to be a light bearer. Yeah. And God has called us to be light bearers in this day and generation. Yeah. We live in a day and we live in a generation when things seem to be dark. They're always focusing on the negatives, they're focusing on the darkness, they're focusing on evil rather than focusing on the things of the goodness of God and the things that are wholesome. The Word of God tells us to think on those things which are good and wholesome, doesn't it? It encourages to think on those things. And so, but I want to spend some time and just talk about you and I being light bearers in this dark world. Because if we are light bearers in this dark world, then the world will be caught by the brightness of the light of Christ that indwells each and every one of us. First of all, Genesis chapter 1. And when you begin to read that part of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, the first words recorded on creation of the when God began to create the world, one thing that there God said, let there be light. Yeah. Wow. God said right there in verse 3, let there be light. Yeah. And at that point in time, I don't know if you and I realize, but the sun and the moon were not yet created. Wow. Eh? That amazing statement. Suddenly God says, let there be light, and there is light. And yet the sun and the moon are not being created. Yeah. What was that light? God Himself. Amen. The Bible teaches that God is light. Jesus came onto the earth and He says, I am the light of the world. Amen? Amen. And you know, we teach that when we're in Christ, Christ is in us. And if Christ is light, then when Christ is in us, surely there should be some light coming out. Yeah? And so God has called us to be the light of the world. You know something? Light is essential for life on earth. Light is essential for life on earth. You know, when you plant a seedling, a little seed in a tray, and if you put it in a dark place, well, we don't have total dark places, but I remember we put some seedlings in the airing cupboard and it was warm in there, but it's also sort of semi-dark, not totally dark, but it's semi-dark, and I forgot about them, and I think it was about 2 weeks later. And I went in. All they'd grown. Yeah. They were about this long. But they were as weak as anything. You know, you blew on them and they just went, oh, and just collapsed in a heap sort of thing. They were useless. Why? They'd had the heat. They'd had the moisture. But they'd not had the right amount of light. We are the light of the world. And the problem in today's society, they've got all these things going on in their lives which seem to bring satisfaction and hope and a future. And, you know, Philip, get a lottery ticket. You know, what a chance you've got for, you know, for your future and that. It's all false hope. They need the light of the world, Jesus Christ. They need the Word of God, the light of the world, to come into their lives. You don't need the lottery. You've got everything. God will provide. God will make a way where there is no way. And so it is essential for our well-being that we have light. For instance, our African friends, their body is adjusted and tuned for a certain amount of sunlight. And they come and they live in this country of England with our grey skies and shorter days etc. And they suffer from a lack of vitamin, is it D? Vitamin D. And so they have to top themselves up with vitamins. I've got to admit, I miss the sunshine when we get loads of grey skies. I remember a friend of ours, Bish, saying to us, you know, oh, the people in England look so dour and so sad. I said, well, you would when you've got so many grey days. You know, when the sun's shining, you shine as well, don't you? You feel better. You know, you go to places in America where the sun shines for like 340 odd days a year. Yeah, of course it feels great. The sun's on your back. California. I remember being offered a place in California. I thought, great, sunshine state, I'm off. God said, you're not going, you're staying in grey England. Gee, I was excited about that. Hallelujah. I shouted, I did shout. I didn't rejoice at the time. But God knows and God intends to do what he needs to do. And so light is important to you and me as individual. Light is important to our plant life. Light is important to nature. And that is so important for us. But the light of the Word of God is even more important. Because the light of the Word of God is actually dealing with our eternity. And so we have to remember that. So that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is about our eternity. It is about our future. And it is to bring us into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 22. I sort of started looking at through Scripture and thought, let's have a look at where the Word talks about light and darkness. And so we find in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. You see, they got the children of Israel in another part of Egypt. They kept them in an area. But where they lived, there was light. But where the children of the Egyptians were living, it was total darkness. Explain that one to me. It wasn't a partial eclipse. It was the hand of God. It was God demonstrating his power. God demonstrating his ability to go against all things to prove that he is God Almighty and that he is the light of the world. He's the one who will bring us light. He will bring us into a place of great blessings. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which camped around Israel, removed and went behind them, and a pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them, and it became between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to the Israelites, to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the children of Israel. Explain me that one. How can it be that this cloud on one side is giving darkness to the Egyptians to keep them from attacking the children of Israel, and yet it's giving light on the other side to the children of Israel? This is God. He's a God of the impossible. And everything God is doing that is good is all about his light, his presence and his power. Today our society is groping around in darkness looking for answers. We're looking to answers for Brexit or Remain. We're looking for answers in difficult circumstances and situations. We're looking for answers to social problems. And they're looking in all of the wrong places. They're seeking advice from all of the wrong people. They're looking to sort it by finance, etc. But do you know something? You'll not sort it by money. You can give everybody all the money that there is available, and by the end of the year you'll still end up with the rich and the poor. You'll still end up with that circumstance. Do you know why? Because they've not put God back into our society. They've not put God in his rightful place. We're keeping him out of schools if we can. We're keeping him out of every circumstance and situation. We talk about multi-faith. But you know, you and I have got to stand up and be the light in this dark world. God is calling you to be the light in our society. He's calling us to be the light so that the wicked will turn from their wicked ways. And that as we stand out before them and stand as examples, we shall declare the presence and the power and the glory of God. Job says in chapter 18 and verse 5, "Indeed, the light of the wicked goes out, and the flame of his fire gives no light." Verse 6, "The light in his tent is darkened, and his lamp goes out." You know, the world has some form of light, they think, but it's going out. It's going out. They're seeking for things, and they're seeking in all the wrong places. They're looking in all the silly places of life, thinking they're going to sort out problems, thinking they can do it without God. You can't do it without God. He has created all things. He is the one who is the light of all things. Right at the beginning, as you read in Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Psalm 43 and verse 3. "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places." Truth and light will lead you. Do you want to be led? Do you want to be led in the right places? Well, you need the light of the Word of God in our lives. And as that light comes into our lives, it will lead us, it will direct us, and sometimes it will take us down pathways and people think, you're going in the wrong way, you're going crazy. No, I'm following the light. I'm following the light. Because the light will take us to our destination. The light will take us to the place of victory and presence and power that the world needs today. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." You know, today we have it, don't we? They go around and they say, "Oh, that's wicked." And yet, what we're saying is, this new generation, they're meaning it's good, it's great, and it's like they say it's wicked. No, 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 no. Wicked means wicked. Wicked means evil. Wicked means bad, horrible things. And I didn't realize that Isaiah had said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Because that's what they're doing in today's society now. This is Isaiah writing over 2,500 years before. And he's already talking about this is what they're going to do. He goes on to say, "To those who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In other words, everything, they're trying to change it around. They're trying to bring opposite, opposing things to the presence and power of God. The Word teaches us to walk to that level, to that standard, to that light and to that victory that there is in Christ Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 22 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in darkness, sorry, those who live in a dark land, the light shall shine upon them. Praise God. It might seem that today our land is suffering from a measure of darkness, but the Bible, the Word of God, teaches that those who are in those lands, light will come upon them. And we have to believe and to preach and to stand and to testify and to stand as light bearers in our nation. Jesus said to those that were following him, he said, you know, you don't light a candle and then go and hide it under something. You stand it on a stand, don't you? You put it in the middle of the room. You stand it there, and it's the focal point, and it lights up every area of the room. So he says, let your light shine. Don't hide your light. Don't hide the truth of the Word of God that is in you. Become more vocal about it. Begin to declare this. Begin to shout it out. Begin to live it. Begin to be that bright light. And you know, everything will be attracted to the light. Those plants I put in that airing cupboard, they were leaning one way. There's obviously a gap in the door frame and where the light just sort of snuck through, and they were heading for the light that they could see. The moment we've got false lights being declared, we have things around that people are looking with that they think is a light and a hope for the future, but it's not the true light. It's not the light that lasts. It's not the light of purity. We need Jesus. We need to proclaim Jesus, because when we proclaim Jesus, every knee shall bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And He is Lord. You know, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, it says in about the sixth hour, darkness covered the earth. The light of the world was being put out. The light of the world was being sacrificed. But what he had already done, he planted in his disciples, into his followers, he planted his light. He planted the hope. He planted the future. He was handing over to them the work of the kingdom of God. In everything he did, he was obeying God. In everything he did, he said it was with joy that he went to the cross. It was with joy that he faced the punishment on the cross. And for each and every one of us, God is trying to shape us and to mold us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus was poured out like a drink offering, as he was poured out for the sins of the world, so he was poured out for you and for me. But at the same time, his light is being poured out into you and I. And to keep that light burning, we need to spend time in the Word of God. This is the oil that causes our spirits to rejoice. The Bible is the oil of God for you and for me that will fill us to overflowing. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to go and crush the olives. And they used to bring the oil to light the lamp in the holy place. Well, today the olives come in a book form, the Word of God. And let that come into your heart, let it come into your spirit, and it will bring light. For the Word of God is Jesus. And Jesus says he is the light of the world. So as we realize that as we read the Word of God, Lord, bring more light. Pour more of yourself into me. Let me see you in a new way. Let me show other people Jesus in a new way. Give me a greater boldness, Lord, to declare your presence, your power. Lord, for each and every one of us, let signs, wonders, and miracles be around us. When we were in Romania, we were seeing things happening. We were seeing young people and encouraging them to begin to step out, to begin to move forward in God. That's the generation that's going to take their generation for Jesus. We need to pray that Ben and others like him will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We'll find God in a powerful way and begin to minister under the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So today, if you're following Jesus, you should have light for your life. You should have the authority and the power flowing through you and blessing you. John Gospel chapter 9 and verse 4 says, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. Well, where is Jesus today? One, he's with the Father. But secondly, he's in each and every one of us. He said, lo, I am with you always. That's not a contradiction. He said, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. So where is he? He's in us. The light of the world should be in us. And it should drive away all darkness and bring us to a place of that special anointing and power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That is what he is wanting for us to be. As a church, as individuals, we are to be at that pinnacle point so that men and women are drawn to us. You know, from last Thursday, I think we had sort of five members from the fire brigade. Three firemen and two ladies who were involved in the South Yorkshire Fire Brigade. I had a message from one of those people who said to me, sent us an email. They must have gone on the church website, found the church email address, and said, what time are your services? I have never been to church before. Wow. Never been to church before. This person must be, and I'm guessing, between 20 and 27 years of age. Never been to church before. Doesn't know what it is like. Would like to come and see what it's about. So I emailed her back, sent her the information, told her what we did. I got a message back this morning actually saying, I'm sorry I won't be able to make it this Sunday, but I will be there next Sunday. Well, let's pray that she can stick to that, that nothing will stop her, that nothing will hold her back, and that when she comes, she will see light. And not the lights that we light up in the church, but the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that she will see the love of God and that she will be drawn to Jesus. We're here for that reason, to see men and women won to Christ. Billy Graham said many years ago, if each one of us was to lead one person to Christ every year for the next 10 years, then all of the world would be saved. One of us, just each one of us, one person a year led to Christ. And if we continued in that vein for the next 10 years, then everybody in the world would be saved. It's not an impossible task, but it's a challenge to each and every one of us. Will we stand for our faith? Will we be the light bearers and declare the kingdom of God? Will we seek to lead someone to Christ? Will we seek to draw somebody into the presence of the Lord Jesus? It's a challenge to us. The Lord has saved us not to be comfortable, but He has saved us so that we would go out and that we would compel others to come to Him. That we would go out and bring light into the darkness of these people's lives. That when these people sit in darkness, the Word of God says, but the Lord has sent light to set them free. The Word of God is our oil. Like the virgins that went to the wedding feast, some of them had some oil, some of them took extra with them. Those that didn't keep their oil topped up, those that didn't keep a supply, were locked out. Don't be locked out of God's blessing. Don't be locked out to what God wants you to have in the future. But take and go forward in the blessings of God. Go forward in the presence of God. Take the Word of God and let it be a sharp, two-edged sword. Use it in love and mercy, but bring people to Jesus. Bring them into the kingdom that they might have eternal life. You know, when we read the story of Saul on the Damascus Road, something that hit me today as I was reading it again. It said that Saul was struck by the light and was made blind. It said he was met by the light from heaven. It flashed around him. The Word tells us others saw the light. But only Saul was affected by the light. Wow. I thought, that's amazing. I've read that before, but it says others saw the light, but actually they were not affected by the light. Only Saul gave his life to Christ that we know of at that point in time. Not everybody we come into contact with will be saved. But the Word of God says, let your light shine. Let it shine. We sing that. We used to sing that song, Shine Jesus, Shine. Let Him shine through you. That's the only way Jesus will ever shine, is when we together just begin to let Jesus shine. Let the love of Christ shine through us. Let us be the lights in a dark world. Because the world is looking for truth. The world is looking for peace. Yeah. The world is looking for light and hope. Yeah. And you know, the people that have got it, it's not Donald Trump. It's not Gorbachev. He's dead now, isn't he? Putin. It's not Putin. It's not Angela Merkel. It's not Boris. No. It's not even... what's the opposite party? I forgot his name. Corbyn. It's not even Corbyn, believe it or not. The only light that is in the world that is going to be of any use and any positive good is the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what will change lives. That is what will change society. That is what will give the world the hope that it needs in these days. So I want to just encourage you today. Be that light. Be the light. Let your light shine. And shine, Jesus, shine. And as Grace said, as I was sharing last Thursday night, that chorus came to mind. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. No, you see, if we were to black out this room, it was totally black, put one little light in it, and the light would penetrate into every corner of the building and darkness would flee away. All you've got to be is this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. 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 Just let your light shine. Nothing can put it out. What was that, sorry? Oh yeah, that other verse, don't let Satan put it out. And he can't. The enemy cannot put the light out. You feed on the Word of God, and that light will always shine for the glory and the presence and the power of God in our lives. Amen. The Lord bless you. Be inspired.